Evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the third day of the retreat, 29 August 2022. And now it's evening chanting. Turn to page 14. So let us begin the evening chanting. We will chant together. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render our offerings, our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for little generation. May this simple offering be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed One, I render homage to the Buddha, the Blessed One. Bow. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma, the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well. I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha, a good word of the Blessed One's reputation has spread as follows. Such indeed is the Blessed One, the Worthy One, perfectly enlightened One, endowed with wisdom and virtue, accomplished One, the knower of the world, the incomparable master or guide of those to be trained, teachers of gods and men, the enlightened one, the blessed one. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Buddha, the Buddha, the truly worthy one, endowed with such excellent qualities, whose being is composed of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus. I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conqueror, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and guide. The Buddha is sorrow destroyer who bestow blessing on me. To the Buddha, I dedicate this body and life. And in devotion, I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Buddha and the blessings of this practice, by his power, may all obstacles be overcome. Bow. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in future there may be restraint regarding the Buddha. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought. Inviting investigation, onward leading to the heart, Nibbana. Can be understood by the wise each for themselves. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma. It is excellent because it is well expounded and it can be divided into path and fruit, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I revered the excellent teaching, that which removes darkness. The Dhamma, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings, as the second object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Dhamma's servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and Guide. The Dhamma is sorrow's destroyer, and it bestows blessing on me. To the Dhamma, I dedicate his body and life. And I, in devotion, I walk the excellent way of truth. For me, there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Dhamma's way. By my devotion to the Dhamma and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome by body, speech, or mind. For whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in future there may be restraint regarding the Dhamma. Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha. Of good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. This order of the Blessed One's disciple, namely, the four pairs of person, the eight types of individual, is worthy of offering, is worthy of hospitality, is worthy of gift, is worthy of reverential salutation, is an incomparable field of nourish to the world. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha. Born of the Dhamma, that Sangha which has practiced well, the field of the Sangha, form of eight kinds of noble beings, guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtue, I revered the assembly of noble beings, perfected in purity, the Sangha, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings. As the third object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and Guide. The Sangha is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessing on me. To the Sangha, I dedicate this body and life. And in devotion, I will walk this well-practiced way of the Sangha. There is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Sangha and the blessing of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome by body, speech, or mind. For whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Sangha, May my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Sangha. Okay, the closing homage. Eh? We will read or chant the English version first. Eh? Then after that, we chant the Pali first. Eh? Then after that, I will read the translation. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādini. The meaning is, the Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. The meaning is, the teacher so completely explained, the teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sangham namami. The meaning is, the blessed one disciple who had practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Okay, then now we will do some reflection. Eh? Turn to this page, page 28. Eh? The 10th subject for frequent recollection by one who has gone forth. So if you have renounced and become a monk, yeah, then these are the things that the monk has to constantly reflect to remind them that they are now different, that they have committed themselves to renounce and to be part of the Sangha member. So we will read the English. Yeah? Monk, there are 10 dhammas which should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. What are these 10? So you must understand, huh? Daily, the 5 daily contemplation is for the lay people. The 10 is for the monk. But they, some are repeated. The first one is, I am no longer living according to worldly aims and value. So this should be your understanding. Means you commit yourself to renounce, to walk the path of Dhamma, to take up the holy life and the holy duty. So your aims and value is no longer to become successful, rich, wealthy, or some of these worldly aims and goals. So your aim is to cultivate sincerely with the faith, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, to liberate your mind, to realize enlightenment in the here and now. So this is the first very important dhamma that we have to constantly reflect. That's why they use the word reflect upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then number 2 is, my very life is sustained through offering by others. So this one is to remind you that you have to be worthy of offerings. Otherwise, when you go Pindapata, you are not worthy. Then you should be ashamed that you put on the robe just to. Indirectly, it's like deceiving people. So those that you see on the street in the marketplace, where there are a lot of those who put on the robe, but they are not monks, I believe so. Sometimes they also like stand there, ask for money and all those things. Of course, once in a while there are true monks, huh? But you must know how to distinguish between the bogus one and the true one. Huh? But normally, if they are the true one, they go to Pindapat. They don't go and stand at the busy street or marketplace to receive offering. They will go Pindapat. So this one is to let you understand, if you try to deceive others and do this, especially the bogus one, the karmic consequence is very, very severe. Very, very severe. Okay? Number 3, I should strive to abandon my former habit. This one refers to your worldly habits that you have developed. So all this is a constant reminder to the newly ordained or the monks who have decided to take that course. You have to be ever mindful to see clearly what are you doing in the name of this renunciation. Are you sincerely with the faith walking the path of Dhamma to realize the truth? If you are not doing that, then you should actually check your thought process. Then the next one is, does regret over my conduct arise in my mind, the way you conduct yourself? You have to have proper understanding. That's why the enlightened beings of all the Aryas, or the enlightened beings of the disciples of the Buddha, the enlightened disciples of the Buddha, they have these four very, very virtuous qualities. They have good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, and dutiful conduct. So the way you conduct yourself, you should have this understanding. The next one is, could my spiritual companion, means their own fellow monks, find fault with my conduct? So this is to constantly remind themselves. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone fault. And then the next one is same as our one of the five daily contemplation. All that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will become otherwise, will become separated from me. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then the next one is also the same. I am the owner of my karma, heir to my karma, born of my karma, related to my karma, abide and supported by my karma. Whatever karma I shall do, for good or for evil, of that I will be the heir. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then the next one is, the day and night are relentlessly passing. How well am I spending my time? Means you are focused on the cultivation. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then the next one is, do I delight in solitude or not? This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Has my practice borne fruit with freedom or insight, so that at the end of my life, I need not feel ashamed when questioned by my spiritual companion? This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then the last one is, the final summary is monks. These are the 10 dhammas to be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. So similarly, as a lay person, you are a spiritual practitioner, keep on reminding yourself, am I heedful? Or am I heedless? Am I sincerely cultivating? Or am I still lazy? So all this should be reflected apart from the five daily contemplation, so that you are more focused in the spiritual field or in the spiritual cultivation aspect. So with this, I think we will go back to our Heart Sutta sharing.
12 Heart Sutta class on 13 May 2012. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. Part 1. Recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. Appamada. Appamada, or heedfulness, means a mind that is ever mindful, without thought, within to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, following Dhammapada verse 23. It is just like the relaxed inner awareness that is always aware and without thought to see things as they are, to see reality or the truth within all mental, physical, and nature's phenomena. 1.2. Applying the 6R technique while meditating in a formal posture, if one feels any tension or tightness or distraction or stress within one's body and mind, then one must just recognize the first R. Just recognize it. After that, release it, second R. Then relax into whatever mind state, the third R, that has energy built up, including all the tightness and the tension that can be felt. Then re-smile or radiate a radiant smile, fourth R, with a relaxed inner awareness without thought. The moment you relax, craving losses is strength, and this relaxed and radiant smile steps are very important to make you to make your mind feel at ease, light, tranquil, and free. This training of the mind will enable you to decondition your mind from its heedless thinking and grasping to sense experiences. This will enable the cultivator to develop a silent, tranquil mind with heedfulness within naturally via the understanding that originally the true mind is already in the meditative state with clear inner awareness within. So there is no need to do anything, but instead just relax and silent via let things be. Then the heedless thinking and grasping born of delusion will slow down and stop on its own via wisdom. The mind will then return to its original state of true silent inner awareness. Without thought, the ever-shining nature, which is the true mind, will then shine forth. This ever-shining nature, which is the essence of mind, is always there. The fifth R is to return to the object of meditation, to train the mind to develop a very stable sati, if this training is still needed. Once the mind is already trained and constantly aware in sati or pasati throughout the day, then this training is no longer required because mind has entered sati. The sixth R is to repeat the above training of the first five R, but need to be careful not to do it until it becomes mechanical or repetitive. This last step must be done with understanding, especially for those who are still trapped in thought-based meditation. Beyond the 6R is the awareness-based meditation, where the new four supports for meditations are: first, relax; second, aware; third, 24 hours; fourth, trust. Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 12. Explaining of the meaning of the text, page 23 to 24. 2.1, the opening verse by Master Xuanhua. Reversing the light to shine within. Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Avalokiteshvara vows to enlighten all the sentient beings. Thus, he is a bodhisattva. His mind is thus unmoving. Rulu Putong. A superior one at peace. With total understanding of the ever-shining, he is host and master. The first line of the above verse is very important because most of the time our mind dwells outside to chase after externals, the external appearances that created the phenomenal world of ours. This is also the reason why the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that our mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when the mind arises. In order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within so that we can be aware of what is going on within our mind. This is reversing the light to shine within. 回光返照. Only then can we be aware of our content of consciousness within our mind. That is, how our mind are stirred by externals and conditioned into clinging and grasping after externals created by mind via our delusion and mental aggregates of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. You will start to understand how thoughts and feelings arise in your mind with every moment of sense door consciousness and how they condition each other. How your thoughts with its conditionings, views, and opinions condition your feeling, and then how this feeling becomes craving, emotion, to condition your subsequent wrong thought or thinking. All this, if you are not careful or heedful, if you have not developed the wisdom or yoniso manasikara to enable you to see things as they are, clinging and grasping will continue to arise, and dukkha or suffering will be the end result. The next verse, with total understanding of the ever-shining, he is host and master. The word host is synonymous to the owner or innkeeper. The ever-shining is our Buddha nature. Imagine oneself as a hotel with six rooms. The six sense bases are like your six rooms, and the sense data or external forms are like the guests of your mind. For example, the guests of your seeing consciousness are colors, shapes, and forms. Vibrations like sound, music, noise, etc. are guests of your hearing consciousness. These guests of the mind are not like human beings because they cannot talk or complain. So it is a lot easier to manage this hotel if one is not deluded. The host is always there to receive the guests. The guests of the mind, they will come and go, hence they are impermanent. As guests, they are here to stay for a while only, and most of the time, they stay for split seconds only. But because of your delusion, you cling onto them as memories and give them meaning so that they can stay for longer period of time, thereby causing you all the miseries and sufferings, at times leading to depression. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, then it can stay aware inside and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just allows them to come and go via perceiving them with wholesomeness and wisdom or right view, and also how he suffers and becomes miserable when he perceives them with negativity via his own wrong views and sakkaya ditti, to grasp and cling onto them via wanting things his way. This will enable him to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not attach, cling, and react, then he is always peaceful and he is not disturbed by the guests of the mind. Then life is wonderful and meaningful, and the guests of the mind can also be quite fun at times.
So now you understand that this Mahayana Zen analogy is very good. Yeah. You see, this is what our mundane mind do. They lashes on to external because our senses are fully active when we are going through life. Just like when you are conscious after you wake up, then you go about doing your routine thing. Then if you are a career person, you constantly at work. Then you have to drive to work, or sometime maybe take bus, LRT, or whatever. When you are performing this daily activity, your senses are fully engaged, understand what? Every moment you have to see, you have to hear, you have to smell, you have to taste, you have to tactile feel and think. Unless you are not eating, then maybe the other two senses, smell and taste, much less. Of course, you can still smell. You pass by the drain that is smelly, you smell. Huh? You pass by the pasar malam, You still smell the sound. Then sometimes you got throat problem or what, you take something, you still taste. Then lunchtime, you still have the taste but going. But the most important thing is, if you are walking, driving, you have to be attentive, isn't it? Otherwise you will accident. So all the senses is simultaneously receiving external sense data. The seeing consciousness, the hearing, the smell, animate you into what you are. So if you don't have wisdom, don't have awareness, don't have understanding, then you become like a robot, understand? Like very predictable, too habitual tendency. See something, perceive something, become unhappy already. Ah, your traffic light red again. Oh, why this guy drive like that? Then you hear the horn. Who the hell is it? Simply horn. Who is verbalizing and chattering? The mundane mind that is heedless is doing all these things. Then when you see something unknown, you have fear. You panic. Then sometimes lightning caught you unaware. Then suddenly, you go out, pray. There are a lot of these daily activity incidents. So because your senses are fully engaged, if you are not mindful, I ask you a question. How can you cope with life? True or not? Because all these are happening simultaneously. Especially when you are driving, you have to be on alert. All your senses, you have to be on alert. Then sometimes if you're already not so skillful, like a B driver, provisional license, you can easily get into accident. Then when you are skillful, of course, you know how to maneuver, you know how to drive safely. So now it's no more drive correctly or right way, following traffic rule. My wife used to tell me, we have to be dead defensive driving. You heard of this word, defensive driving, means prevent yourself from getting into troubles. Because a lot of drivers, they don't behave the way the public expect them to behave. Sometimes they signal left, you think they're turning, they drive straight. They forgot to off the signal. Then sometimes, for no reason, they just brake. Then sometimes they slow down. Especially on highway. If you are impatient, then sometimes, that time I went down to Johor, I said not Johor, sorry, Ipoh, with Suhi and his friend Ben. Ben was driving. Then I saw Ben keep on cutting in and cutting out, then going in again. Then I asked him, why you do that? He said, the car at the back, follow you very near, don't care, until you better let him go. So you cut in. So after he cut in, zoom, this little part, that at the back, a lot of cars, so he can't just come out like that. So these are actual reality. So as a living being or a human being, we have two choices. Understand? Become agitated by it, bosong over it, or whatever. Yeah. Then you see how you actually respond. If you are not alert, not attentive, not aware, then you tend to have more problem. But you are aware, alert, you have less problem. So when you are aware of your emotion, that condition, all this, then you realize this is negativity of mind state. That's not. Then you will lose your ability to be attentive. Where you already preoccupied with that thought, where you perceive him with negativity. So what is most important is the last paragraph. When you reverse the light and shine within Hui Quang Fan Zhao, you see all this, you understand all this. Then you realize every moment of sense experience, if I react to it, stir my mind or perceive it in negativity, then I create my own problem. So I used to share this. What is a problem? It is only a problem if I do not understand the reality and the truth. The reality is, thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha say, understand? But when I don't understand the truth and if I don't accept that reality, what you do? Because you perceive that situation with negativity. Once you are negative, you're not happy, you create your own so-called problem. That's why I always say, in actual reality, there is no such thing as a problem in life. But most people will not agree with you or agree with my statement. Why? He said, this world where got no problem one, problem everywhere. Yes, but if you were to listen to what I say, then you will wake up. It's only a problem when you perceive it with negativity, like fear. You worry about it. Like you see something happen already. Then you perceive negativity. Ah, yeah. Die already. Got problem already. So, I don't know how to handle it already. Especially when you make mistake or what. So, in life, when you perceive a situation with negativity, or let's say the doctor, after checking you up, wow, I think we need to do a biopsy on you. Very likely, you got cancer. Then what happened? You listen and perceive that news as negative. I don't know. Then your fear arises. Your worry arises. Then you become like very unnatural. That is, you perceive that news or that situation with negativity. If you have not, what the doctor tell you, you can listen. Oh, is it? On what basis you say, I need to do that? Of course, he must have his reason. But you must also not be deluded. There are some also not so professional in their approach. Sometimes they just want you to like seek them more or get them to help you to give you the consultation and the operation or medication or whatever. Yes, sometimes a lot of these are very lucrative. Yeah? Then money is involved. So in society, there are a lot of all this. But if I don't perceive it in negativity, I accept what the doctor say, then you can actually resolve it. Because it is the reality. The doctor, based on his specialization, his experience, or his intention, maybe he is selfish or what, or motive, he will tell you this. So he is the way he is, so you accept. But you don't be gullible. You can tell the doctor, okay, thank you so much. Maybe I will let you know. Then you seek a second opinion. Why not? Understand not? Then if really is the truth, you need to do a biopsy, go and do. After you do, the news come out, don't panic. Understand? If positive, so what? It's a reality. Not only you, everybody who live life long enough has to experience and confront all these things. So when you accept and do not perceive it in negativity, then there is no problem. You just have to move forward, attend to it, resolve it, amicably. So this is how we live life. That every moment of perception, you are at peace. Every moment of perception, you are at peace. It is the reality. So learn to develop that. Then your mind will not like before, continuously stirring, reacting, developing all the fear, the worry, the unhappiness, the like and dislike, all of the emotion. Because you lack wisdom, you only saw manasikara at the moment of sense experience. And your conditioning create the condition for you to perceive that situation with negativity, which can be fear, worry, anxiety, or unhappiness. So hopefully with this, you can develop better understanding. Okay? So always remember, do not perceive any situation in life or condition with negativity. Just learn to see things as they are and come to terms with that reality and be at peace first. Then act through understanding, through wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? So that is what is summarized there.
Page 75,
Yeah.
2.2, important notes. 1. Hosts, always there to stay, but guests, they come and go. 2. You hold the key to your own life's destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy depends entirely on your own choice. Then, why are you not happy? If we choose to be happy, then no one can make us unhappy unless we ourselves allow ourselves to be unhappy via our own delusions. 3. Thought is like money, and money is neither good nor evil, because good and evil depend on the user. If the user of money or thought is evil, then money or thought will also become evil. If user of thought has wisdom, then thought becomes right and wholesome thought. So the user of thought is the most important. Hence, do strive on with heedfulness to develop the right views and wisdom more and more.
Okay, so this one maybe I explain a bit. Thought, as we all know, is what we have. That is our mundane mind. So each and every living being, we have this thought process. We are able, through our form and mind, to arise thoughts. So as a living being, as a human being, we are the user of that thought. So thought, if you don't understand, then you will get into trouble. Where the user of thought that doesn't understand thought will be afflicted. So when it comes to Dhamma, we have to see it clearly that this physical body and the consciousness trapped inside, which can trigger off the thinking or the mundane thinking, which is the mundane mind, which is thought, is a tool for us to use to live life, to experience life, and to do whatever we want to do while existing in this existential world. So knowing that, what must we do? As a user, if we don't have wisdom, Dhamma understanding, we will be deluded. Through delusion, ignorance will set in. Then wrong view will set in. Then the user of thought, which is deluded, full of ignorance, will not know how to use thought. When you don't have the Dhamma understanding, then thought easily become wrong thought because you fail to understand the limitation of thought, the purpose of thought. Thought is egoic when you don't have wisdom, when you are deluded, when there is self-delusion. So thought, just like money, is neither good or evil, like I explained. It depends on the user. So each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. If we don't know how to use thought, we get into trouble. Then all the time, the thought that you arise are wrong thought. That condition, negativity of karma. If you do that, you become heedless. Then what happened to your karmic nature? Your karmic nature will fall. There is no way you can take care of karma. There is no way you can improve your karmic inheritance or nature. So this understanding will trigger off, the intent to change our life. You can only change your life through cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, developing the understanding, the awakening, so that you have the wisdom. And this wisdom is what we call Yoniso Manasikara, that will manifest at the moment of sense experience. So you have to insight in the phenomena, awaken to it, realize the truth, then only you have the capability. Then only the user of thought has the understanding to use thought appropriately. That's why in the teaching, you will come to see many places. The Buddha said, you have to arise the right effort to abandon the wrong thought. the unwholesome thought, then right effort to cultivate the right thought, appropriate right thought, which are still not in you. So all this indicate the need or the necessity of having wisdom, the Dhamma understanding to deal with life. That's why if you understand this, then it's very easy. Our thought is like money. So what must we do? We use it for the good of the many. We use it appropriately to bring about harmony, love, compassion. We arise generosity, generous thought, kind thought, gentle, pleasant, and good thought. So looking at that aspect, we have to actually develop some form of understanding. Let's take for example, if that thought is our tool, let's say it's a knife. When you use the knife as a tool, you know that it is deluded and foolish to use the knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit our others, isn't it? Because without this analogy, you cannot see. So if that knife is a tool for you to use, like your thought, you have to use it appropriately. But the knife, the purpose is what? For you to cut things, shape things, cut vegetables, cut fruits, then do whatever you need to use to do. Carve things or whatever. Or cut open some plastic things that you need to cut or you use a scissors. So these are the tools you have to use appropriately. But if you use it wrongly, means as a knife you can see clearly that if I use it wrongly to harm myself, hurt myself, and hit out at others, that is definitely the wrong way to use the tool, which is the knife. But if you are mindful, you can see what is happening in life. Living beings who are heedless, deluded, don't have the Dhamma. They are every moment, every instant using their thought to harm themselves and to hit out at others. That's why I always say it's only a thought. How come it has such power over living beings? Make them so miserable, so depressed, so fearful, so unhappy. And yet, without awareness, you cannot see all this. Because it's your thinking through delusion that conditions all these things. So when you cannot see, you will point finger. You will blame other people for causing your misery, your suffering, your unhappiness. And this is very common. So mindfulness is very important in the sense that it allows you to see how a person who is deluded gets itself entangled, afflicted through fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then at the same time, that deluded person who doesn't know how to use thought, constantly get themselves entangled. They arise wrong thought that condition their fear, their worry, their anxiety, their sorrow and their lamentation, their lack of peace and unhappiness. So as you see this more and more, then you realize the problem with living beings is they lack this understanding, the Dhamma. They don't know that there is a teaching that explains to them clearly the reality of life and existence, the cause behind all their suffering. Then there is a path that leads to the cessation of all suffering. Suffering need not be. So with this understanding, you develop wisdom, you can attend to your own whatever situation to improve your life. So when your life improves, then you see and witness the nature's law operating. That's how the Dhamma stand up to investigation, then your faith manifests. So that analogy of the knife is very important. If you use it to harm yourself, hurt yourself, means Over thinking, you develop depression, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety. Who caused you all this? Is through your own lack of understanding that arises the wrong thought to develop and condition you into such negativity. So hopefully, with this added understanding, it can allow you to look clearly into your life. Like I always say, our life, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. So choose to be happy. But yet, so many people are unhappy. You think they don't know how to choose? No, it's because they don't know this teaching. They don't have this understanding. And they don't have the Dhamma to guide them. If they have the Dhamma, they will not go that way. We have Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 very clearly. One lead to suffering, the other one lead to happiness. So basically, as a cultivator of the way, we have to have mindfulness to observe all this, understand all this, then we straighten our view and we transform. And we never allow ourselves to go back to the old way, which is born of the deluded, heedless way of living life. Okay? Yeah, we go on. Yeah? We read the last one.
Part 3, Meditation. Email number 4, page 9 of email compilations notes. 3.1, Commentary on Three Turnings under Theravada and Mahayana. Brother Teo explained that the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths given in Pali under the Theravada tradition is very accurate. Mahayana's explanation compared to Theravada differs a bit. The problem with most cultivators is they cling onto the first turning and never get down to the nitty-gritty of the second turning, where all the hard work is. For more details, please refer to email number 4, page 9 of Brother Teo's email compilation notes on Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, dated 14 May 2007.
Yes, this one is very true. Most people who don't have the understanding of what cultivation is, they will make this type of mistake. They go and listen. Then they think they know. We have knowledge base, thought base. They take it, they remember it, they think they have the knowledge. And with the knowledge, they can live, they can become like spiritual. Not knowing that the actual cultivation, you have to learn how to listen. Listen attentively, the art of listening, without verbalization, without interference from the thought process, the memory. So if you don't know how to listen, then Sutamaya Panya also not there. Understand? Not? That's why they become superficial. They take the word, think that this is what it is, then finish. No more. But the first turning is just the beginning. If you don't have your past, you cannot awaken to the first turning. But if you have your past, upon hearing through, you awaken. And then that one is very useful. But very few people have that. And most people need to listen. And nowadays you can read up. Then after that, you need the second turning. Reflect, contemplate, and inquire to stabilize the understanding. Or to develop deeper understanding of what you have heard. Or seek out people who understand. To learn from them. To develop the understanding from them. Then the other way is through Dhamma discussion. Through fellow cultivator or practitioner. You attend spiritual activity and classes. So all this can help. But if you don't go into it, especially the first turning, second turning, it is very difficult to develop the third turning. But the third turning demands a lot of understanding. You need to understand awareness-based meditation. You need to understand sati. And through understanding, only you can develop it correctly. So meditation needs to be developed through understanding. You must know what you are doing in the name of meditation. So look for the important understanding. What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? When you understand that, you know how to proceed. That's why what I did was I highlight to you the important teaching, especially Dhammapada verses. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 21, 22, 23, then verse 183. Then the final advice of the Buddha before his parinibbana. So these are the few very important Dhammapada verses that can keep you in focus, that will not allow you to deviate from what he teach. So understanding all this will give rise to the ability to comprehend what this thing is and how to develop the cultivation. Okay? Then only is effective. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. Especially those thought-based approach. You technically don't understand what is going on. You only verbalize, parroting, then study as knowledge, topics. Then you retain in memory. Then from memory, you try to act. Because that memory is not the wisdom. The wisdom need to be awakened to, need to be realized or insight into. And the instrument you use, which is thought-based, is limited. Their thought cannot realize the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So all this understanding, it has to stabilize. Then only you will not fall. You will not go back to the old way. And it's very difficult to detect thought-based, because the only instrument that living beings who are still not enlightened, they only know of thought, nothing else. They don't know they have another mind, another nature within which they can make use of. To develop the understanding, to insight in the phenomena, to awaken. So this part, hopefully, by now is clear. Okay, next page.
Chapter 13 Heart Sutra class and meditation class. On 20th May 2012, short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. Part 1. Recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. Dhammapada verses on heedfulness. Verse 21, 22, and 23. Heedfulness means a mind that is constantly meditative and ever mindful. To develop clear understanding and wisdom via seeing things as they are. Understanding the importance of heedfulness via understanding the following important Dhammapada verses. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 22. Distinctly understanding this difference, the wise who intend on heedfulness will rejoice in the realm of the Ariyas or the enlightened ones. Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, the ever mindful, and the steadfast ones realize the bond-free supreme Nibbana. Part 2. Heart Sutra, Lesson 13. Commentary, page 22, 23 to 25. 2.1. Dhammapada verse 1. Leads to suffering. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speaks, acts, and thinks with a wicked, unwholesome mind that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow. 1. Like the wheel that follows the hoof. 2.2. Dhammapada verse 2 leads to happiness. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speaks, acts, and thinks with a pure, wholesome mind that is free of all the three evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion, then happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him. 2.3. Why is the teaching of 2.3, why is the teaching or Dhamma as taught by the Buddha during his time becomes different as it gets passed down over the years? Question 1. Why is the teaching or Dhamma as taught by the Buddha during his time becomes different as it gets passed down over the years? Relative answered, because the Dhamma was passed down via using words and speeches, which are verbal in nature. And as we all know, words are subject to various types of interpretation, hence the deviation. For example, when asked about what is the first noble truth as taught by the Buddha, more often than not, we get the standard and very popularly accepted answer, life is suffering. And this is very dangerous because Buddha never said that. The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a first noble truth that explains clearly what dukkha or suffering is. And according to Lord Buddha, there are 8 conditions in life or realities of life and existence that can give rise to suffering when one confronts them without wisdom. They are the realities of birth, getting old or old age, sickness and death. When you are with people whom you don't like, when there is separation from your loved ones and your prized possessions, things that we hold on to dearly, and when you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, etc. No matter who you are and how wealthy and powerful you are, if you live long enough, you will confront all these realities of life and existence. The Buddha then went on to proclaim that there is a cause behind all suffering, and the cause is always craving born of delusion. This is the second noble truth. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be because there is a noble truth that explains the possibility of the cessation of all suffering in the here and the now. Then finally, the Buddha taught the fourth noble truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. And if one cultivates this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all dukkha or suffering. 2.4, important definitions. 自在, meaning me in the moment, and it means at ease. False thinking means heedless thinking. Number three, one is not right here or aware within, means lost in thought. Number four, first pronunciation jie means enlightenment, and second pronunciation jiao means to stir up trouble. Part three, meditation, email number four. Three turnings of the four noble truths. 3.1, training of the mind to be heedful. 2 steps are involved. Via mind sweeping method, plus metta, plus 6R, plus object of meditation. 2, then finally silence your mind to be heedful within. Via relinquishing the objects of meditation, that is, mind is constantly meditative and ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. The mind sweeping method is a very good and useful skillful means to train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. And it also trains you to feel and not to think. Then you continue to relax whatever tension, tightness, and stress within the location you feel, like your forehead, etc., to enable you to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, to realize the tranquility, peace, quietness, and calmness within. When there is no thinking, then your mind will be peaceful, at ease, and without thought after deconditioning it from your habitual heedless thinking and worrying, etc. But before we proceed, can I ask this question?
Yeah, can.
The 3.1, Part 1, 3.1, training the mind to be heedful, 2 steps involved.
Yeah.
So First step is through this mind sweeping method, metta, 6R object of meditation. This thing like something, a lot of thoughts involved.
Yes. Because you know why? At that time, in the early day, I cannot teach you that awareness base. I cannot take you all direct to the what they call wunian, no thought. And so what I did is, I realized the mind sweeping method is very useful. Because you feel, understand? You feel. You don't think, understand? That's why you straight away silent, you stop first. Stay at the forehead, feel. Feeling is very near to awareness, understand? Feel. Then relax. Understand? So basically, it's teach you how to relax, like the 6R. Distraction, tension, tightness, feel, relax. Understand? So this is why I teach initially, especially at Suyang's place there, the Thursday class, you all may recover, is always mind sweeping method first. Rather than teach you method and technique, because I know a lot of people do either anapanasati or rising and falling. In fact, that time, rising and falling are very common. But I cannot comment because people will actually reject it because it's so popularly accepted. So I came out with this mind sweeping method where I find it useful. Initially, it's like, in order to stop the thinking, the only way to do is to feel, understand? And when you feel, then you relax into it, like the 6R, recognize that there is a tension, distraction, or whatever. But it can be applied to pain or whatever. So when you do the mind sweeping method, you train yourself to be aware at the place you want to be. Means you want to go to the forehead, go to the forehead. Then you sweep it down, sweep it down. Then later on, you want to go to the heart, you can. Yeah? Mind sweeping method allow you to develop the ability to attend to your mind by locating it at the location you want it to be located. But the key thing is, don't go and think. Feel, relax. Feel, relax. Then sweep it down. Like your facial muscle, feel it. Then relax into it. Now, then to assist in the relaxation, visualize yourself facing a mirror. Remember? Radiating a radiant smile. When you are happy, only you can smile. Understand? Well, when you radiate a radiant smile, you are very happy, very relaxed. That's why it assists you to relax. So this is how it started. Then at that time, I can only mention, finally, silence your mind. Understand? You see the word or not? The number two, finally, silence your mind. To be heedful within. We are what? Relinquishing all this object of meditation. Like anapanasati, rising, falling, even mind sweeping method. Relinquish. Finish. Then what you do? That is, the mind has become like trained. Means it's just aware. Then stabilize that. But at that time, I cannot. I just say, you silent, finally silent your mind to be heedful within. We are relinquishing the object of meditation. Means I want your mind to enter sati. Understand? Not? When your mind enters sati, you are naturally aware. Everything you do is with awareness. Your seeing is in awareness. Hearing, smell, taste, tactile, everything is in awareness. But mind must enter sati. That's why I say, walking, aware. Sitting, aware. Lying down, aware. All the four posture. Yeah. So when you can, like, standing, sitting, walking, and lying down, when you can develop the mindfulness and the awareness, then you start to cultivate mindfulness through kaya nupassana. So awareness is very important. From awareness, you stabilize it until it becomes so stable, then you realize or reach the point where this mindfulness has become so refined. Whatever object of meditation you use, even mind swimming method or what, it will bring about the mind that is very tranquil, very peaceful, very quiet. That's why it enters Prasati. So Anaprasati also said, rising volume, it becomes very subtle, very subtle. Mind swimming method also say, very subtle until this mind hardly move. Hardly move means what? No more thought. Understand? Not? No more thought means your true mind, your silent mind. That's why you will enter sati. Because that is your true mind. That's why you have to reach that stability of mindfulness development. It can be anapanasati or any object of meditation or your mind sweeping method. Because these are initial skillful means, like I always say. If you know how to use them, no harm. Do it. But understand that you don't become gullible. The problem with most people is they think every time they do that method, they are meditating. Then it becomes what? Mechanical. Then like Ingvi said, yeah, it was taught, especially rising falling. Anapanasati also do wrongly, also it was taught, understand? Fixing, controlling, then noting and all those things. Then some say, feel the tip of the nostril. The instruction is just maintain mindfulness, awareness. Awareness of the in and out breath. Understand?
Yeah. I want to pinpoint at metta.
Ah, okay.
Because I don't know, nowadays I cannot do metta. Because a lot of verbalization.
I understand what you are going through. Because
metta is thought based.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
but finally, it go beyond thought.
That part I haven't come.
Oh, okay.
Because the point two, at last we have to relinquish the object of meditation.
Yeah.
Relinquish the metta thoughts of boundlessness, friendliness.
Yeah.
We create something through metta, loving kindness. Then we have to relinquish it. It's a waste of time to me.
No, no. You see, they say with the four Brahma Vihara, especially metta, you can also develop concentration. You remember? The samatha, vipassana, they mentioned it. You can reach jhana. But their aim is to reach jhana. So when your metta is very, very strong, especially thought-based, it's just like you develop the jhanic factor. Initial application of thought. Then you sustain that thought. But that one, metta, is slightly different. It's not only thought alone. It involves your feeling. Understand? But the first stage, thought one, you cannot go deep one, cannot go far one. May you be well, but you don't feel it. Understand? You don't feel it. The real metta, you have to move beyond the superficial verbalization. Understand? Then you feel it. May I, my body and mind, that's why I used to share this with you all. You feel the body, you feel the mind, the feeling go in. Be well and happy. Means what? You feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. So that will anchor your mind not to have other thoughts. Understand? Not? Then that metta is a very soothing metta energy, loving kindness energy. You feel well-being. Your cells all like have all this well-being inside you. That's why it's to reverse the negative energy feel of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lament. So when you do metta, you recuperate. Then your mind becomes collected. Then the energy is charged up. Because this is love. Then with love, like the metta meditation as taught by the Buddha, which a lot of book writes, I also wrote one, the blue color one. I combined the other two books through my understanding. Then I developed. Then you read that one, you know. The second phase is, after you can feel already, and remember the beginning is to keep on contemplating what is metta, like a mother having the love for the child. He will go out and sacrifice to develop that love. So love is the opposite of the negative tendency, opposite of anger, ill will, hatred. That's why this metta gets built up. So when it's the opposite, then this metta, you have to develop it through an understanding. May my body and mind be well and happy. So you always wish for the well-being of yourself and others. That is loving kindness. Because of that love, I wish people well and happy. May they be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful. So when you continuously radiate good thought, wholesome thought, this metta starts to build up. But you have to feel it to move into the second phase. So when you feel it, this metta force become charged, understand? Charged. Then it starts to like overflow already. Like this metta has become like every day you do until you have a lot of metta, understand? Then this metta like starts to want to overflow. Then from there you can radiate it. Want to overflow that time, you visualize your loved one. Or somebody you want to radiate that metta to. And that is thought energy. And that is very effective because thought is what the normal living beings means of communication through thought energy. So sometimes you think of that person is connected one. Then sometimes when you radiate metta, like I told you, they can feel you one, but they don't know. Their rational mind, their brain, they don't know. But they will turn. Then sometimes in front of one, they will look up at me and smile. Where the metta has gone in. Something inside there make them like that. So when you radiate, when you visualize, I still remember when I visualize, it's very powerful. Because that metta really go. Where that is your pure wish. That is what you can radiate. But the second phase is not the real penetrative one. The real penetrative one is when this metta has reached a level which is so stable and I remember that time Ajahn Yan Chah always teach me, nature is full of loving kindness. Nature gives and gives. Nature never takes. The great loving kindness of nature. The air we breathe. So this one generates a lot of love, a lot of understanding, a lot of compassion, a lot of gratitude towards nature, understand? Then that metta become very strong. Then after that, everything I do when I want to radiate, I don't have to visualize already. I just use my hand. They're very funny, out here, there is a type of energy, very soothing one. Come out by itself or no? That one animal can feel, non-human can feel. That is the real metta. But the one that will on also quite powerful already. If you can will it means you can feel it here, the heart opening up. Then that metta force revealed it. But this one is using your thought with that what they call thought that you conjure up or verbalize as metta, but you convert it into feeling, understand? Then the feeling from the heart is being willed up. So that is at the feeling level, but it's already quite powerful. Because that one, I remember when people asked me to help radiate metta, I used that, very helpful. Somehow it worked. Yeah. But the third one is later on when that metta, like I told you, when I contemplate, reflect, and when I follow what Ajahn Yan Chah taught me, nature has great loving kindness. Then I start to understand that actually nature itself is the oneness. But if it's the oneness, if we destroy nature, nature destroys us. Where we are one with it. Where we have love, love will prevail. Then our understanding will allow this heart to open up. That's why metta can open up the heart. Then metta use a lot of energy, especially at the will, at the level when you will it out. So all those that have energy fuel, jhana, they cannot release their energy. They radiate metta. That's why Ajahn Yan Chah breakthrough, he used it to radiate metta. Until his metta open up the center, I believe he must have touched it, the gateway. That's why he transformed, he developed the understanding. Yeah. So hopefully with that understanding, and then the other thing to explain to you, yeah, I also went through those phases. You know, later on, I cannot retake metta. No? You ask me to retake metta, I cannot. You know, no point, you know, just stop it. Understand? No? Then I realized wisdom is more important. Wisdom is the one that can help people. It's just like when people got problem, I retake metta. Understand? No? But there is not much Dhamma involved. Understand? I use the word not much. Understand? No? But it's not the Dhamma that cure or heal. So we are like using certain, you call what? What is it? Like temporary solution, understand? No? Our positive energy director, understand? No? So it's just like you keep on radiating metta. After that, you think you develop wisdom? You don't develop. That is the fall. Brahma vihara, understand? And it's a virtuous thought without the evil root. Yes. Huh. So these are all right thought, virtuous thought. But it's not wisdom, understand? So you have then, there is no evil root, understand? You don't commit negativity or karma, understand? Then you can help heal people, understand? Then improve their whatever situation. Yes? When people have problem, we always say, radiate metta. And because we are carrying metta, it's very effective. Do you know Jiwei's son? Actually, very slim chance on when he got the accident. The serving of him. Recovered. The wife also recovered.
I can radiate metta when I use the feeling of a mother, risk her life for her
correct.
Only child.
Yes, yes.
Very powerful.
Yes, yes.
Another one is the boundless as the sky.
Yeah,
boundless
yeah.
As the sea.
Yeah, yeah.
Boundless as the air we breathe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This visualization of this is very
yes.
powerful. I can
yes.
do it with this type of visualization.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are thoughts, right?
Correct. That's why I told you these are right thoughts prevent you from falling into negativity or coming. But it's like temporary measure, understand?
No?
It's no real fixed one, understand? Like the psychiatrist, auto suggest to you, okay, don't worry, you relax, I give you something, it will enable you to sleep, then you will slowly, slowly recover. Yeah. All this, what they call chemical imbalance that happen to people with fear, phobia, and all those things, they will give you that medication, which is to actually balance up your chemical imbalance. But these are drugs. You become addicted on. Then you become dependent on it one. Without that one, the phobia and the anxiety and the fear that is here, when it happens, it becomes intensified. Yeah, you are dependent. Understand? So these are all temporary. Like initially, they say, okay, because your root problem is you don't have the Dhamma understanding to root out your delusion, that condition, your suffering, your misery. So because of that, all these skillful means that people use thought to arise, which means they are trained, the psychiatrists, they are trained. In psychology, they also train how to actually counsel people and other things and bring about temporary solution. Then sometimes they recover. But temporary, when condition arise, that thing hit again, they go into it again. They cannot come out. Because a lot of these people in depression went to it. Then later on with the Dhamma, they realize they are completely out. Then they slowly, like Alicia, Kumoy, they all, no need medication after that. Then without medication, they don't have problem. Because the understanding is there. So metta has its purpose and usage, but it is not Dhamma wisdom. So whether you can predate or not, it depends on the stage of cultivation you are. So initially when I develop a lot of metta, it's because That time I was in the university. My energy very strong. So when I read metta, this energy really moved out. But later when I met Achanyantra, I did it differently. I reflect and contemplate, then I visualize. Because when I reflect and contemplate, is like what he said, nature has great loving kindness. Then I want to know whether it's true or not. Then I listen to what he said. Nature has great loving kindness. Nature give and give. Nature never take. I realize true. Then he said, the air we breathe come from where? Nature. The water we drink come from nature. The food that sustain us come from nature. And human being, instead of having loving kindness to give back to nature or to take care of the environment, what do? We chop down the forest. We chop down the tree. Then even the tree, which is nature, they endure the sun's ray and provide the shade for us. Human beings stand underneath the shade, never say thank you. No gratitude, no compassion, no loving kindness. Instead, sometimes.
Oh, hello. Second
good.
Attempt. This is
okay. Amitabha.
Amitabha, Gratia, Mr. Seo, and all Kayamitas. We are standing outside to see if the reception
signal
is better or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, the signal, yes. Maybe
Yeah,
it's better.
yeah.
Hopefully it's better. Okay,
oh,
I want to
better.
add on to what Brother Teo said about the metta.
Yes.
This metta, I also do metta. So I do metta, like Brother Teo said, is coming from your, you feel it, you feel
yeah.
the metta for yourself first. I do it on myself first. Then I do it to my loved ones. After that, I do it to the environment vicinity,
yes.
And then I continue
yes.
to spread and then spread and spread and spread to the entire
yeah,
universe.
Yeah.
Brother Teo, when I do that, Brother Teo, the oneness nature appear. And
yeah,
then
definitely. Yes.
My heart opened up, the flow of the metta.
Because your
karma.
Metta is boundless. Understand? No? That's why the heart opened up. Then she
yes.
had experienced that oneness nature. Because she went into awareness space. And he's the first time at that time he very new. So this one create a lot of interest, understand? But after we already gone through very skillful already, we have done all those things, right? Then that phase is over, understand? That's why I said it will continue to develop and evolve. So don't worry. I also went through after that, I think after 89, my interest and love for metta completely gone. I didn't want to do. With that understanding, you cannot do. If there is causes and conditions, yes. Like sometimes Suyan texts me, say so and so, going through an operation. And then I do. Then especially Mi Feng, because I know her, then sometimes she will also let me know certain things. Yeah. Then I will read it. So all this, I can still do. Provided there is condition. No condition you ask me to purposely read it metta. Cannot. I cannot. Like Chi Wei Wan, I immediately invoke power of merit, his wholesomeness. Because he had faith. He came to the class, he made offering. He, when we visited the Perth, he took us around, remember? Oh, you didn't go, huh? Yeah. That trip was very beautiful. Then he did a lot of wholesomeness. Then I invoke power of wholesomeness. By the power of whatever wholesomeness that Chi Wei and family has done out to my nature and all Kayamita, may arise the causes and conditions. Yeah? Or his son to recover to good health, to have a successful. So all these are very strong. When I read it, I still remember it's very strong. Then, like the other one, Eric's daughter, remember? First few times, they come. At that time, they don't know the Dhamma. Okay. So there were no conditions. So we share merit. Of course, after the class, we share merit. Initially, I don't feel anything. Then there was one session, I felt something. I felt something. The moment I felt that one, then I told Suyan, very likely the daughter recovered. Really recovered. Then after that, at 10 Thursday class with the mother, I took photo with us, you remember? So your nature can know when this thing manifests. Po Cheng, you continue, sorry. Pratik, are you still there?
Yes, I just want to give faith to all Kayamitas that this metta is, when developed properly, the metta is coming out from the heart, the energy flow out from the heart.
Correct, correct.
Yes.
Very
Just like what you
soothing
said,
one, it come out by
just
yourself.
flow out from, yeah, very simple. Yes. It's really not thought, you know, it's
Yeah,
just
it's not thought. That
coming
one
out,
is
and then
from
you
the nature
feel
come
it.
out. That is the third phase that you are able to do. From your nature, it actually there is this very soothing metta energy that come out. You can feel it on you. And
You feel it coming up.
the animal, the non-human, all can detect on. Oh, very, very different. So that one I went through, and it was with me for many years until 1989, when I was in Melbourne. Then the dog incident and other thing I told you. That was the time my metta very strong. Thank you so much.
This thing happened naturally. Happens naturally.
Correct. That
Something you look
initially,
for it and then it just happens.
We wheel it out, like Po Cheng said, we wheel it out. Then later on, it just come out from that nature. You just meet the causes and conditions, then that thing flow out. And when it flow out, it's very different. Very, very different. Very good, Po Cheng.
I just want to say this metta is really amazing. The real metta is really amazing
Yes,
because
yes.
it come out naturally
Yeah.
and it's very beautiful flow of metta energy, you know. Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Thank you, Ratio. Finally,
Yeah,
we are
thank
able
you so
to
much.
say something. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu,
Yeah.
sadhu.
So don't worry, because these are the phases we will go through, and it is just one aspect of the cultivation. But the Buddha warned the monk at that time to do metta bhavana. There are incidents that require this. So when they went to certain places like in the jungle to meditate, then they confronted all these non-human disturbing them and creating problem for them, until the monk themselves also panicked. They went back and see the Buddha. Then the Buddha tell them, don't worry, you go there, chant this. I think it's Karaniya Metta Sutta. Then after that, the non-human feel the thing and understand the sutta result and really protect them and give them all the space to develop the memory. But initially, they felt like their privacy invaded, understand? Because their forest belonged to them before the monks came. They suddenly come chant and don't know what the thing is. They do all the things that they were doing in the meditation. They are not interested in that. I don't know. Then they feel that their privacy has been intruded. That's why they use their, they are non-human. They got psychic also. They actually create a lot of fear in them, disturb them, and do all those things. So metta is needed when you have such situation. But apart from that, you have the Dhamma, Dhamma protect you. You don't really need all those things. Because like the Buddha said, virtue protect. Understand? So very likely the way I see is those monks kena that thing is we are the karmic. Understand? In the past they could have been like this non-human kacau people, understand? Disturb people, understand? Then when there is condition, they go there, they kena back. So causes and conditions are there. So when you understand all this karmic thing, you don't really need other what they call other type of means or way to deal with it. You only need to have virtue, born of wisdom. Well, without wisdom, no true virtue. But when you have the Dhamma, you have the wisdom, your virtue become very different. Well, that virtue is born of wisdom. It is true virtue. And that true virtue protects you. Now that is the one that protects your karma. Your karmic nature become different. That's why when they do the perfection, the spiritual nature also develop the perfection. Then at the same time, the karmic nature also develops the inheritance. Because when they have this perfection of all the parameters, then these great beings or enlightened being or the Sammasambuddha, their nature become very different. They manifest this in life whenever they arise. So when they manifest this, just imagine what amount, that huge amount of wholesomeness that has been generated, because they are the great being, Sama Samudra. So their virtue is extraordinary one. That they really have the wisdom and the understanding to help living being and take living being across. So what happened is, when you have all this, you become different. And that's why I say their vows are very heavy. You remember? Then their virtue are very, very expensive. Their wisdom are all there. So because of that, they can develop the vow that integrate into nature's law. You remember? So that they don't have to manifest themselves. Automatically, when you have affinity, you connect, manifest. That's why Kuan Yin don't have to be everywhere. The Buddha don't have to be everywhere. Their nature has this ability, like Amitabha Buddha. Pure land, yes. In order to get heavy vow, very, very unique vow. Their virtue, their understanding, very extensive. That's why when you reach that level of cultivation, your ability to manifest all this type of thing is beyond the ordinary living being's understanding. You know, last time in the early day, I remember, a lot of people comment, you believe, huh? Kuan Yin can be anywhere, everywhere. He got time, huh? This type of thing. Because they cannot understand, I said, no. He said, huh? Everybody kill Kuan Yin like you, Lu. No such thing. But they cannot understand. If you have faith in Kuan Yin, you connect, you know? So when you have affinity, means whatever you deal, or do, or cultivate, especially the Ta Pei Zhou, the Xing Qing, it is from that being, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, that actually developed the understanding to come out with this Ta Pei Zhou, like his 88 manifestation, or 84, sorry, 84 manifestation. All the names you put together and chant, it becomes the great compassionate mantra. Because Kuan Yin is the embodiment of loving kindness and great compassion. Then after that, if you chant even that Om Pemi Memi, Mani, Mani, Om Mani Pemi Homa, you connect, understand? No? I last night always chant wrong, so he point out to me only. Om, I use the word many. It's not many. Om Mani Pemi Homa. That's why he said that it's not correct. Om Mani. Then I said, oh, easy to remember money. So Om Mani Pemi Homa. If you recite this, it will connect. Yeah, this is what the vow is. Whomsoever recite her name, her forehound, there will be a response. Oh, sorry. Whomsoever recite my her forehound sincerely, there will be a response. Sincerely means you have faith. You're very sincere. You're not last minute. Only what? Pao Fo Jiao. Rings of Pao Fo Jiao. Cannot. But if you have faith, like my mother, because she has faith, she used to be and she always chant. But she don't know how to chant. She only in Hakka. Kuan Yin Yong Yong, Kuan Yin Yong Yong, all those things. She just chant that. But the response is there. Yes, she has faith. And because of her affinity, Kuan Yin, she also has affinity in my nature. Then my father also saying, I chose them as my parents. In the past, they did something to me without knowing who am I. The only way to repay their kindness and let them benefit from what they did is to invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for them to receive this. Then I realized the best way is to become my parent. Where they are incapable of negativity. They know their duty. They are very, very loving parents that willing to sacrifice for their children. Also. That's why this line, they become my parent. Then I reflect back, I recall back, then I understand how it happened. Otherwise, it cannot happen. And my father also knows. My mother also know when I was born. My grandmother also told me some story that I came to understand why I was there. My mother said, of all the 9 children she gave birth to, I very different. I very, like, quiet. I hardly cry. If I want food, I will, like, I don't cry. If I want to pee, I also, yeah. Then if I want to do the big one, yeah, then I Then she put me on the sarong, with the spring on top one, you know. And I know how to use my leg to kick on. And my mother say, I'm the most easy to look after. Never give them problem. Yeah. Then my grandmother panic, worry. He said, until 6 years old, you never talk. But I saw my photo that my father took me to the studio because he was very happy, you know why not? The moment I was born, he actually never dreamed of this thing can happen. He was a salesman doing sales. Then suddenly the uncle that got a shop got this social welfare lottery. Last time Singapore, Malaysia combined. So left with tentacles, no, he panicked. No. Because you cannot sell, you have to eat yourself. No means you lose money. So he asked my father, can help or not? Well, he's a salesman. My father said, can. Out of that number of tickets, he only took 4 only. There he go. Then he managed to sell. So after he managed to sell, he come back. He said, you give me the rest. So he managed to sell all. They came out second prize on Singapore. You know how much was the commission? That time got commission on 5,000 ringgit at the time. That time money was so big. So my uncle shared with my father. So the moment I was born, it bring honor to the family. The family, like the condition and environment all different. That's why my father know. Then he asked the fortune teller later on when I grew up. The fortune teller told him, based on my finger, the fingerprint. He said, your this son, he calculate my weight. Yeah, that one is you call what? How heavy? No, how heavy your bone is. Is it the bone or what? Bone, huh? He said, I'm the heaviest. I was 5.9. Emperor 7.2. My brother, sister, all 2 point something. Then he said, your this son will bring honor to your family. Will bring a lot of things to your family. That's why my mother was full of joy. Then my father also knew. That's how I was able to understand all. Then when I looked at the photo, the 2-year-old one, I saw that photo, that I can sense, very innocent, no thought inside there, very cheerful. Then when I saw my son and my daughter when they were born, they were also like that, young that time. So a lot of things you cannot understand. But when you understand the law of karma, the yin yang huang, then you know these are causes and conditions. They have the parami, my children, to be my children. We are in the path. This is the way they have the understanding. They have been parents before that understand the Dhamma, that actually do not create any problem for them. They know how to actually bring them up, provide for them, then never force them. Allow them to live their life and support them in whatever way. That's why they will have condition to have parents who will do the same to them. That's why you ask me, my son, I never force them. Whatever they want, but of course not to pamper them. Whatever they want to become when they grew up, I said, you decide. Yeah, it's your life. You want to understand what are the possibility of career that you may have. That's why I took my daughter around. I took my son around also. I said, you want to become an accountant? I take UNC accountant. There, I got friends. Then you become want to become an engineer? I'm an engineer. You want to become electrical? I can bring you to me for MCI. So there is a lot of this opportunity. Then I took her around. Then the university, which one college you want to go? I took her around. Then they decide. So this is what you should develop through the Dhamma understanding. Yeah? They have their life. They have their karmic condition behind. So observe them, understand them, and see what they like and what is their, what they call unique creativity or speciality. So for my daughter, she's very simple, you know. That's why I guide her accordingly. My son, more career oriented, he wants to be very successful. He wants to prove that he can do all this. But he also has the Dhamma. The only thing is the time has not come. He is not really very interested in it, but he roughly know what I'm doing and he understand. I taught him one thing which he did very well. I said, no matter what happened, don't get angry, become unhappy, because this will create evil root. The negativity of karma will surface, then it create the cause and condition for your negative karma to unfold. Then you get into deeper shit, worse and worse. You remember that. That's why every time he got a situation or a problem, he never want to get angry. He want to resolve it. Want to resolve it. So this is how you should actually develop the understanding to apply the Dhamma in such a way that it benefit them all. Okay? So, Amy, okay? Huh? Sadhu, sadhu. Oh, another 30 minutes. Okay, we go on. Yeah?
14 Heart Sutra class on 27 May 2012. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. Life and existence following the five universal natures order, Pancha Niyama. Within our conditioned world of life and existence, everything is conditioned arising, or they arise due to causal phenomena, following the five universal nature's laws, orders, panchaniyamas, namely uttu niyama, bija niyama, kamma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Hence, they exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicca, or impermanence, dukkha, or suffering state, and anatta, or non-self, or empty nature. The first two are scientific laws, nature's physical law, that is uttu niyama, and nature's biological order, or bija niyama. And the next three are nature's spiritual laws, namely kamma niyama, law of karma, citta niyama, law of the mind, and dhamma niyama, law of dhamma, or truths, as taught by the Buddha. Understanding these five universal orders or laws implies having right view with regards to life and existence, and this right view will enable one to have great understanding and wisdom of our existential world. Understanding citta niyama will also enable one to understand how our mind functions following the 12 links or law of dependent origination, paticca samuppada, as taught by the Buddha. The children of today are mostly second generation kids of the millennials generation. And nowadays parents, they are usually overprotective of this second generation children. And they also tend to overpamper them in the name of loving them, hence giving rise to all the related social problems. This is especially common in families where their family members lack understanding for having close relationships with one another. They usually lack harmony, and the family members seldom have the opportunity or line of communication to talk and discuss these issues with one another openly, frankly, and sincerely to resolve their life's problems, like relationship, health, career, and financial problems, etc. Do learn to play your role as responsible, good and wise parents by cultivating and understanding the Buddha Dharma or great wisdom as taught by the Buddha, then share them with your children to guide them through life. Your duties or responsibilities as parents are to provide for their basic needs like food, shelter, clothing, and education, etc. when they are young, and not to pamper them or be too protective of them. Advise them accordingly and then allow them to make their own decision in life because it is their life, and let them be responsible for their own life decisions, and never force them to try to control them in any way that will cause them to dislike you or refuse to talk or discuss matters with you. Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 14, Commentary, page 25 to 28, 2.1, Condition, Love, and Metta. There is a big difference between emotional love, conditioned love, and metta, which is universal love. An example of emotional love is the usual love-hatred relationship of lay people. One moment they will love each other when things go their way, and the next moment this so-called emotional love can turn into hatred, envy, and jealousy, etc. Then there is the other relationship between parents and children, brothers and sisters, daughters-in-laws and mothers-in-laws, good friends, etc., expressed as conditioned love that only exists because of relationship bonds, whereas universal love or metta is love without any opposite. The mind that has metta is always peaceful and happy without any negativity. It is born of wisdom that enables one to accept the reality of the moment and always be at peace with the way things are, and one's heart is always full of metta. Definitions of terms. Samadhi, a mind that is collected, unwavering and unmoving, with total understanding of the ever-shining or the Buddha nature. Host and master, meaning fully in charge. Mind is at peace, meaning mind that is heedful, silent, and unstirred. Dharma saying by Master Po Yuen Chang Lao is quite similar. Xing Jing, still or silent mind. Wu Nian Shi Zhen Xing, no thought is true mind. Dong Nian Ji Wu Ming, stirring of the thought is delusion. That is understanding, meaning wisdom. Outflows means defilements, evil roots, and delusion. 2.3, the eight worldly conditions or the eight wings or the four pairs of dualities are 1. Gain and loss. Wherever there is gain, there is loss. Before you have not. So what you have lost is only losing back what you have gained. We came with nothing, and we go with nothing. Then why does one grieve over emptiness in between? 2. Happiness and sorrow. If you cling to happiness, sorrow will be the result, because it is a conditioned world. 3. Praise and blame. Wherever there is praise, there will also be blame. 4. Fame and ill fame. The same goes with fame and ill fame. Note, do not cling to the eight worldly conditions. See the importance of cultivating the equanimity enlightenment factor needed to liberate the mind. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1, Purpose of Meditation. Deeper states of meditation are needed to allow the stillness and cessation to develop and stabilize via wisdom. The two main purposes of meditations are 1. To stabilize the silent and tranquil heedful mind via a combination of relaxation, clear awareness, wisdom, and understanding. 2. To use this still, tranquil mind to investigate clearly into all the Dhamma and phenomena, both internally and externally within life, to realize the wisdom and the enlightenment needed to free the mind. Brazil also shared with us this his own cultivation and how he came out into the private sector to test himself in 1989. For details, please listen to the 14 Heart Sutra recording dated 25th of May 2012.
Yeah, at that time I also share, but today one I think enough. Today I share one already enough. Today one I shortcut, summarize all for you. What year I come out, is in there, how I clear. But the recording one, really full detail. At that time I was working. So not too long when this Heart Sutra was made. Now, so long ago, after what I spoke 2012, 2022, 10 years ago. And when I said this, was not too long. So that was my career part, how I tested myself, was still fresh in my mind, relatively fresh in my mind. Okay, good. So next page. Yeah, all this we can just read through because all this we have gone through already.
15 Heart Sutra class and meditation class on 10th of June 2012. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1, mind is the forerunner of all things. According to the Buddha, mind is the forerunner of all things and mind made are they. Hence, through mental consciousness, we can perceive the phenomenal world of consciousness, all of the physical, mental, and nature's phenomena within life and existence. Definition, anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. Contemplative wisdom can arise when you silence your mind to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Be aware and mindful of all physical, mental, and nature's phenomena within your daily life to see clearly your moment of arising, its sustenance and passing away of all phenomena, and to realize the penetrating wisdom born of bhavana, or cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. With the silent mind in pure awareness, one can be aware of all the vibrations and phenomena within one's form or body and mind. One will be able to perceive deeper into one's mind consciousness. All phenomena can be perceived via the silent mind, and it can also witness how they come and go, arise and pass away, their birth and death, etc. Hence, realizing their impermanence and empty or non-self nature. You will see them everywhere, from your bodily vibrations to your heartbeat, your pulses, feelings, thought activities, perceptions and consciousness, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, etc. You only have to silence your mind to see them all as they are. What you perceive via your mundane or thinking mind is not a real condition because they arise via thoughts, which is respond to memory. The reality of pure perception, which is before the knowing, is very different.
So this part, remember, I have explained this many times already. Okay, continue.
Human beings have the tendency to react to sense experience because of ignorance. To solve human beings' problem or suffering, one needs the Dhamma. Life without Dhamma is not easy to cope. Without the Dhamma, there will be delusion and ignorance with regards to understanding who you are and what you are. Without self-knowledge, one will grasp and cling to one's five aggregates of form and mind, hence conditioning one's dukkha or suffering. Samsara, or the wheel of life within existence, can also take the form of man and nature must harmonize. And there are the five universal laws or orders that govern nature. These five laws, two of them are scientific laws, Utunyama and Bijanyama, and the other three are spiritual laws, law of karma, or Kama Niyama, law of the mind, or Chitta Niyama, and finally the law of truths, or Dhamma Niyama. When you have the right understanding or right views with regards to the five universal orders or laws, which are like the secrets of life, then you will know how to live life. When you know how to live life, you will know how to experience all of the wonders and beauty of life. then life will be very meaningful and beautiful. That is true emptiness, is wonderful existence. Understanding the three right views with regards to the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths and the law of dependent origination or Chowlings is very important because it can transform your understanding of the Dhamma to enable you to live the noble life. Thought is limited and egoic, hence it cannot free you. True mind is only pure awareness without thought. As such, it can see things as they are without the conditioning. One will come to understand clearly that in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. That is before the knowing and before the delusion of Sakkaya Ditti carries through to condition you into grasping and clinging onto what you see. Your craving or reactive mental intention is due to your habitual tendency born of wrong views.
Okay, good. We stop here. It's already 9:16. Thank you so much, Amy. Okay, so today we finish our Dhamma sharing. So now maybe we shall get a song and Brahmasri to chant the Tapejo and sing Ji one time each.
Namo Ta Pei Guan Shi Yin Pu Sa. Namo Ta Pei Guan Shi Yin Pu Sa. Namo Ta Pei Guan Shi Yin Pu Sa. An sa po la fa yi su tan na tan xie nam mo si chi li tuo yi wang er li ye po lu jie di shi fo la leng tuo po nam mo na lai qing ci si li mo he pan tuo sa mi sa po er ta dou shu peng er si yun sa po sa tuo nam mo po sa tuo nam mo po jie mo fa te dou tan zi ta an a po lu si lu jia di jia lu di yi si li mo he pu ti sa to sa po mo lai mo lai mo si li tuo yun ju lu jie mo Tu lu tu lu fa se ye di mo he fa se ye di po lai di li ni shi po lai ye ze lai mo fa mo lai mu ti li yi si shi nai O lai shen fa lai she li fa sha fa shen fa lai she ye hu lu mo lai hu lu si li so lai si li shu lu pu ti ye pu ti ye 不脱也不脱也 Poi Bora Boro Ni Tuo Kuta A Miao Toro San Miao San Puti Kuzi Bora Boro Ni Tuo Shi Da Shen Zhou Shi Da Ming Zhou Shi Wu Shang Zhou Shi Wu Deng Deng Zhou Neng Chu Yi Xue Ku Zhen Shi Bu Xu 故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Okay, let's rejoin, sir. Sadhu, sadhu. We will do the sharing of merits and transfer merit. Let us rejoin all the wholesomeness that we have developed today. And we rejoin first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And may this wholesomeness be shared with all beings, starting with the Devas. Akasatta cha bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantam Anumoditva Chirang Rakkhantu Loka Sasana Itavata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Sriya Idam hotu sukita hotu nyatayo. Idam hotu sukita hotu nyatayo. Idam hotu sukita hotu nyatayo. Devo asatukarena sasa sampati hetocha. Pito bhavatu lukho cha Rajyam bhavatu gandhiko Imina punyam kamina Mami bala samagamo Sakhan samagamo hotu Yava nimana bhantiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to one Buddha and all the worthy ones, and we shall end the whole session. Anybody want to make announcement, you can.
We share merits with Karen and
Dr. Oh, okay. Dr. Janta is with him. Where is Dr. Janta?
Online.
Oh, online. Yeah. Oh, online. Oh, okay. Oh, is it? Karen? Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Now we better relate some metta. Let us have 2 minutes of metta. Let us relate metta to Karen and also Dr. J. May he recover to good health soon. Okay, any announcement? Yeah, Panasonic, yeah. Yes, I'm with you. Whatever you do, the whole sentence will be there. So you should thank him when he say express your gratitude and respect because of the sharing and all things. When you did that, my nature already sent the pure vision for blessing. So don't worry. I just invoke back. By the power of whatever wholesomeness that you all have done after this nature, may arise a causes and condition for you all to realize the true Dhamma, and also your good and noble wishes. So hopefully with all these causes and condition, you should be able to progress, and have faith it will happen. When I don't know, it depends on your path, your parami, your sincerity, and the causes and conditions around. So all this is to give you faith, so that you can determine, strive on with faithfulness to really do it. You must persevere, just do, don't try to know, just do. And when it happens, you will know. And today when I saw Amy bow is very good. That bowing can develop the mindfulness. Well, she already know how to do the lying down. So this bowing will create continuity of mindfulness within the daily life. And it will stabilize. So for the rest also the same. Searching how you're too tired and today afternoon you still snore a bit. Well, he alone doing the editing, everything. But it's okay, you need to rest. Luckily, you go there. You and Chan have to come over here and do the walking. But don't worry, it meant to be condition will be like Amy said, no problem. The Amy one next to you is used to you. So, no, okay. Okay, good night.
We can still have two other things. One of them is we did the COVID test today. I don't think there's anybody else that's positive, so I think we should just withdraw his
Yeah, you should resign. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay.
Then if they all tested negative, the three of them, when can they come? When they can come?
Wednesday
Wednesday can come. Oh, okay.
All of us in the same car as Carol, so we are okay.
Yeah, so good news. But I think the three look okay. To me, they are okay.
Yeah, the other thing is that I think Kok Loon and Brother Song, both of them has been very kindly
Sending the food also. Yeah, we should thank them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I saw Kok Loon working very hard. All the water bottle, he and Song too, kept it. Jin Hao also. So thank you so much, Sadhu. So when I go to the you call it what, cabinator, the water
Water dispenser.
dispenser, I always think of Kok Loon when I saw him carrying the thing. He very strong. Oh, I remember when I young, they asked me to help you. I cannot alone. I need two person. pretty heavy that one.
Okay,
So.
sending the book to Karen and the previous as
I
well.
know, I know, I know. That's why it's not easy. Then the other thing is also that day I saw Jin Hao and Song. Two person must carry. But I tell them better two. Because otherwise, as you age, you will never know what will happen. So two person lessen the weight, easier to handle. But Kok Loon is still strong, no problem. I saw him like professional. You are not wrong, one hand also can. Okay, so let us have a good night rest. Those who need some drinks, you can go down. It's up to you.